These days, a ton of people of all ages are very invested in what goes on in this country's academies of higher education. Colleges and universities are a constant source of concern for this country's lawmakers, and hardly a week goes by without some long-winded op-ed in a major publication about how college is turning the kids trans and/or anti-Israel due to critical race theory, DEI, and of course, wokeness.
They confuse the two, college and TikTok. They're doing the same thing. They're just ruining everything.
Anything that makes young people think at all
yes.
is dangerous. Mm. Now, personally, we're not especially concerned about what people half our age are up to between classes. That's their business. Mm-hmm. But we do have some concerns about the fact that Harvard University, the crown jewel of higher education in this country, has had a book in its library for the past 90 years that is bound in human flesh.
A Necronomicon, you say?
Yeah.
Hail to the chief, baby.
Just, that's our skin book.
Yeah.
Made from human skin.
Well, and if you grip it wrong, it'll bite you.
It will.
And absolutely do not read from it.
Nothing out loud.
No. It sounds like the work of a serial killer, or the type of book that unleashes eldritch horrors upon the world if you read from it out loud. But no, it's just an otherwise unremarkable book that some French dude in the 1800s decided needed a cover made of human skin. I mean, the book's good. But everyone these days is judging books by their cover.
This one will really get them talking.
Yeah.
It's a conversation starter.
It is. It says like a coffee table book in this day and age. So yeah, this was all back when everything having to do with putting skin on books apparently was a little less weird.
Cool.
I mean, they were just throwing bodies down there in the catacombs.
Life was a little cheaper back then.
They were doing like an ornate designs with it too. They're like, look, this pile of bones is lovely. But wouldn't it be better with a heart?
They did have so many bodies on their hands that they often, in many places across the world, they're just like, well, we might as well have some fun with it.
Quite literally.
Let's build an entire church out of this shit.
Yeah, in the Czech Republic, they have a very ornate chandelier made of bones.
Yeah, there's a couple bone churches in Europe, and I think it just comes from like, look, it's the 1800s, people are dying all the time. What do I do with all these bodies?
I mean, it's a great use of, it's renewable.
Yeah.
You're not creating new things. Way better than plastic. I mean,
it's
come on.
It's sustainable. It's permaculture.
But ask your local goth. They'll tell you all about the very ornate human remain things that you can go see.
They will.
Back to the book, though. In the current day, it's definitely weird. And for the past few years, Harvard has been trying to figure out what the hell to even do with it. Now, up until 2014, they weren't even sure it was actually made from human skin or if that was just a tall tale. And at the time, they actually had multiple books believed to be made from skin. But testing found that just one actually was. The others were just bound in animal skin, so who cares?
Yeah, they were
leather.
It was like sheep skin, but at some point someone was like, hey, do you know that book's human skin?
Mm.
But it wasn't.
Yeah, they pulled a fast one.
And that's the thing about this, is you can bind a book in any animal's skin, and no one's really going to know the difference unless they pull out a microscope. And even then.
Yeah. You gotta have like a tattoo on the skin to. Well, I guess even like animals, they do that for like branding purposes.
Yeah, you can tattoo anything. So anyway, Harvard blog post from 10 years ago shed some light on why this would have been less weird in previous centuries. Mm-hmm. While books bound in human skin are now objects of fascination and revulsion, the practice was once somewhat common, termed anthropodermic bibliopagy.
Nice.
The binding of books in human skin has occurred at least since the 16th century. The confessions of criminals were occasionally bound in the skin of the convicted. Or an individual might request to be memorialized for family or lovers in the form of a book.
For my lovers, please.
When I die, turn me into a book.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, sounds like the owner of the skin in the Harvard skin book was, I guess, cool with it probably, right?
Yeah.
They were like, hey, cool. Make me into a book. Put me on the shelves of Harvard.
At least
I always wanted
to
be a Harvard man.
Yeah, this is the easy way in.
Park the book in Harvard Yard.
Always wanted to go to Harvard. Didn't have to work too hard. So yeah, in this case though, no, it was definitely just a French doctor stealing skin from the unclaimed body of a mental patient who died of a stroke. So probably cursed. It probably is actually
cursed.
That's
just bad vibes from that.
Yeah, Dr. Ludovic Blonde wrote in a handwritten note inside the book, this book is bound in human...
I mean, that's probably what he sounded like. Oh, the skin book.
Oh, he's very beautiful.
This book could need us some skin.
That's Italian. This book is bound in human skin parchment on which no ornament has been stamped to preserve its elegance. By looking carefully, you easily distinguish the pores of the skin. A book about the human soul deserved to have a human covering. I had kept this piece of human skin taken from the back of a woman. It is interesting to see the different aspects that change this skin according to the method of preparation to which it is subjected. Yeah, this guy's a freak. Doctor, you say? I guess doctors are all very weird back then.
Yeah, you go back like 150 years, like doctor was a very subjective term. They like...
Get the bone saw out.
They literally, like, up until the 20th century, surgeon and barber were one job.
Yeah.
Like, you can cut hair, you can cut bodies.
Yeah.
And, like, doctors were constantly just like, I got to get better at doing doctor stuff. I'll give you $50 if you go dig up some bodies at the cemetery and leave them on my back porch.
Yeah. Meanwhile, take these leeches.
Yeah, put some leeches on it. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Harvard Skin Book is basically the result of grave robbing. Mm. Which is somehow even worse than just being a book bound in human skin. Anyway, here's the New York Times with the latest on the Harvard Necronomicon. On Wednesday, after years of criticism and debate, the university announced that it had removed the binding and would be exploring options for a final respectful disposition of these human remains. After careful study, stakeholder engagement, and consideration, Harvard Library and the Harvard Museum Collections Returns Committee concluded that the human remains used in the book's binding no longer belong in the Harvard Library collections due to the ethically fraught nature of the book's origins and subsequent history, the university said in a statement. Harvard also said that its own handling of the book, a copy of Arsène Houssay's Destinies de l'Âme, or The Destiny of Souls, had failed to live up to the ethical standards of care and had sometimes used an inappropriately sensationalistic, morbid, and humorous tone in publicizing it. The library apologized, saying that it had further objectified and compromised the dignity of the human being whose remains were used for its binding. And yeah, it sounds like for years, like anyone who like got a tour of the librarian would be like, hey, catch! They'd be like, that's human skin you're holding. Gotcha.
I mean,
smell it. Look, yep, that's human.
I'm kind of torn on this. It's already there.
It
certainly wasn't acquired by ethical means, but
that is the conundrum, which is like, yes, this is fucked up in so many ways, but it's done. What's done is done. But you also don't want to keep like exploiting it and being weird about it. So what the fuck do you do?
Yeah, it's a real catch 22.
I think you burn it.
That's the thing, though, is like, if this was a consensual thing, then fine. It sucks that it was essentially stolen from someone's presumably dead body.
Yes, I would hope.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, I always think of those bodies exhibits, and like, especially like, they always end up in the weirdest places. It'll be like Pigeon Forge or Vegas.
Well, most of those bodies are like, Chinese convicts, I think, or at least that, because there's like competing bodies exhibits. One of them is like very, very unethical. The other one is like only slightly.
Regardless, you have slack-jawed yokels and Vegas attendees sipping like gigantic
a guitar daiquiri
and going, so that's what my nervous system looks like.
Wow,
time to ruin it.
Yeah, I never went and saw that because...
At least at Harvard, it's like you would assume this is locked away, right?
I think it has been, yeah. And also, it's like, you know, not just any Joe off the street can get in there. This is Harvard, folks. This is Harvard.
Yeah.
You have to be of a certain, certain level in society approach the doors of the Harvard Library.
When you are around the book, it will violently open up and turn to a specific page.
It will... Whisper in your ear late at night and make the flickering flames of a candle dance in certain ways.
Do not listen to the book.
Do not listen to the book.
Do not recite the words.
Turn on white noise. Plug your ears with cotton balls or the book will drive you to madness.
Not anymore, though. We are tossing that skin in the trash.
Bye-bye. Flush.
I mean, whatever way it's destroyed, it doesn't matter.
I mean, it's leather. They should just cut it into like rawhides for dogs. Let a dog play with it.
You know what's going to happen. Aaron Rodgers is going to buy this and make a football out of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he
helps my game out.
And he's going to remove just a little bit of air so that it throws better.
That's the wrong guy. That's Tom Brady.
Well,
anyways, the article then explains that, fun fact, Harvard is absolutely filled to the brim, overflowing with human remains.
It's a cursed place.
Uh-huh. Many of them from Native Americans and enslaved people. And this book is just one of many items that they've been trying to figure out what to do with in recent years.
Turns out, just grave robbing, centuries of grave robbing, there's been a bit of a reckoning in that front.
Yeah.
People don't like it as much as they used to.
You know, the one way to save this book, tell Republicans that they're...
Turn it into an NFT.
Tell Republicans that the wokeness is getting them to unbind this book.
That's right. You used to be able to bind books in human flesh.
Can't do it anymore.
Until woke.
Can't do it
until
anymore.
Until DEI.
Because of the woke.
Look at this normal-ass book with a paper cover. This is what DEI has done.
Would you read this book?
No.
I don't know. I'd be nervous.
There's no skin on it.
God. Anyways, here's the section on how the book ended up at Harvard, which is the most interesting part, I guess. The book arrived at Harvard in 1934 via the American diplomat John B. Stetson, an heir to the hat fortune. How many hats are made of skin? That makes me wonder how many hats are made of human skin.
I imagine, I don't know what John B. Stetson looked like, but I imagine he had a Doug Dimmadome situation going.
And a gigantic mustache.
With that's why all the doors to the Harvard buildings are so high, so that John Stetson could fit through it with his extremely large hat.
Hey, my other hat's a Stetson.
I mean, they're still around. They make great hats.
They sure do. It had been bound by its first owner, Dr. Ludovic Boulan, a French doctor, who inserted a handwritten note saying that a book about the human soul deserved to have a human covering, as we said. A memo from Stetson, according to Houghton, said that Boulan had taken the skin from an unknown woman who died at a French psychiatric hospital.
Pretty cool, huh? I'm John Stetson. I was over in France. Hanging out with the freaks over in Paris.
And you won't believe what these people get up to.
And this doctor, he's like, oh, Mr. Stetson, the inventor of the hat. We love the cowboy hats. Oh my gosh, your hats are incredible.
Hello there, partner.
How can I ever thank you for inventing the cowboy hat? Here, have this book bound in human skin. Take it to America.
Yeehaw, right?
We love America.
You're not going to believe what they're doing over in France. They said they gave me a book made from a dead woman's back skin. Here you go, Harvard.
You know, pretty cool, huh? This doesn't make me seem weird at all.
Put this in your library. I'm John Stetson.
I can only imagine that this guy, he felt cursed by it and had to get rid of it.
I wouldn't want that shit in my house.
It would, it would haunt your brain, even obviously if it didn't have any real eerie effects.
I like the idea. So Mr. Stetson goes over to France to try to popularized the cowboy hat. It fails, but during the trip, he meets a lot of interesting people. He meets a French guy who's just like, no, 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 no.
I'm a doctor.
Gives him the book, and he's like, oh, very nice. Takes it home. He doesn't speak French. He finally gets somebody. He's like, what does this note inside here say? What does the note inside of this beautiful book say? It's in French. Can someone read this?
It says what?
Whoa! And his hat starts flying.
Yeah. It bounces off, spins around.
Holy shit, I gotta get rid of this cursed book.
Yeah.
Get me Harvard. Anyway, ask for what's going to happen to that, the skin, the binding, now that it has been removed.
Right in the trash.
This is answered in a Harvard Library Q&A post from this week. The human remains removed from Des Destinies de Lame are currently in secure storage at Harvard Library while we carry out deeper provenance and biographical research related to the book and the woman whose skin was used in the binding.
Put it back.
The library,
put it back on her skin.
The library is consulting with appropriate authorities at the university and in France to determine an appropriate and respectful way of laying the remains to rest. We're going to pawn this problem off on the people who started it in the first place. The French.
Yeah.
This is their business.
Take it back to France and leave it on their doorstep.
We just ended up with this skin book. You freaks. You freaks and frogs. You started this.
Yeah.
So you take it back.
Uh-huh. But anyways, moving on now to our regular roundup of dumb conservative bullshit happening in this country. Let's start with an important update from a main character who simply refuses to go quietly. A guy whose time at the levers of power burned bright and burned quick. George Anthony DeVolder Santos.
Woo!
Woo! It's getting less and less enthusiastic.
Woo!
Last we checked, Santos had made a surprise appearance at the State of the Union address thanks to the lifetime congressional floor privileges he still has despite being expelled from Congress. And then he denounced that he had, or he was going to be running for Congress again.
Woo!
Hooray. This was odd, considering he's in some very serious legal trouble and faces potential prison time. And also, his chances of winning a second time, they don't seem great.
No.
I would hope that they are very bad, very low, but you never know with this country. But okay, George, there you go.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we now have an update on that because, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, George Santos thinks congressional Republicans are letting the Democrats just walk all over them. They're just a bunch of rhinos. We need to take out this Michael, what's his name, our new speaker. He's got to go.
Ironic, because one of the Republicans just left their seat. They just quit this week and was like, these people are psychotic.
Yeah.
I'm in the Republican Party, these people cannot govern because they're all insane.
Well, George Santos, he's doing the opposite way. Here's USA Today. Embattled former Representative George Santos said he is suspending his plans to run for re-election as a Republican and will instead run as an independent, blaming the shift on the embarrassing showing in the House Friday. The House on Friday passed a $1.2 trillion spending package that would finally fund the federal government through the end of September, and Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene filed a motion to vacate against House Speaker Mike Johnson, the procedure that led to the ouster of former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. After Friday, quote, "I have reflected and decided that I can no longer be a part of the Republican Party. The Republican Party continues to lie and swindle its voter base. I, in good conscience, cannot affiliate myself with a party that stands for nothing and falls for everything," Santos said in a post on X. "I will take my ultra-MAGA/Trump-supporting values to the ballot in November as an independent." So yeah, just looking at this utter just chaos and discord in the Republican House caucus and being like, I can't associate with these people. They're not MAGA enough.
Mike Johnson really made a wish on that monkey's paw, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
He did, and he's getting just what he asked for.
Exactly. Well, okay, George. Something he's not mentioning here is that he's probably doing this because the local Republican Party in Long Island hates him and wants nothing to do with him because he brought tremendous shame and embarrassment to them.
Yeah.
They'd also, for obvious reasons, probably keep a close eye on any fundraising he manages to do. Check those books.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason we can think of for why he's doing this, other than, obviously, attention, is so he can illegally raise money for his legal defense in the case where he's accused of illegally misusing campaign funds, among other things.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta illegally misuse campaign funds to get yourself acquitted for charges of illegally misusing campaign funds.
Which, that's a lot of the speculation about Trump selling the Bibles is so that it's a very legal, very cool way for churches and potentially other foreign investors to inject some cash into that campaign.
That's
without
actually
doing
kind
it.
Of brilliant. Yeah. It's evil, but it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. So with George, I guess we'll just have to wait and see how it works out.
This isn't the last we've seen of George Anthony DeVolder Santos.
He's trying to do what Trump is doing, which is like kick the can. Position yourself to where you...
It doesn't work.
It's not working for him. Yeah, you
can't. President, yeah, maybe. Freshman, congressman, already expelled.
Expelled,
no.
Yeah, in first
Shut
term.
Up.
Get out of here.
But in other Republican news, at this point, it's basically built into the party platform that the 2020 election was stolen, even though it absolutely was not.
Mm-mm.
And a very funny trend over the past few years has been finding out that some of the biggest and loudest election deniers are themselves guilty of voter fraud. Here's the Washington Post with the latest example of this. A Georgia Republican official who pushed false claims that the 2020 election was stolen was found to have voted illegally 9 times.
Jesus.
A judge ruled this week. Brian Pritchard, first vice chairman of the Georgia Republican Party, was ordered to pay a $5,000 fine as well as investigative costs and be publicly reprimanded.
That's it? Really?
You're a bad little boy.
For illegal voting 9 times?
Yeah, I guess so.
That must have been one hell of a reprimand. Probably not.
You're a bad Brian.
And don't you ever do it again. Mm-hmm. Oh. So 9 times? I mean, Jesus. A fine of a few thousand dollars, that seems a bit light. We're going to need some more information. Pritchard had been sentenced in 1996 in Pennsylvania to 3 years probation for felony check forgery charges. His probation was revoked 3 times. once in 1999 after he moved to Georgia, and again in 2002 and 2004. In 2004, a judge imposed a new 7-year probationary sentence on Pritchard, thus making him ineligible to vote until at least 2011 in Georgia, where state law prohibits felons from voting. Despite that, court documents showed that Pritchard signed voter registration forms in 2008, in which he affirmed that he was, quote, not serving a sentence for having been convicted of a felony involving moral turpitude. He then cast ballots in 4 Georgia primary and general elections in 2008, as well as 5 special primary and general elections in 2010. According to court documents, Pritchard testified that he thought his felony sentence had ended in 1999. It was just an honest mistake.
I mean, so this is actually even more ironic than originally thought, because not only did the guy who accused Joe Biden of winning thanks to voter fraud commit voter fraud multiple times, he did so in one of the most common ways that voter fraud actually occurs in real life, which is by accident.
Yep.
The voting rights of people with prior felony convictions are extremely confusing depending on where they're trying to vote. And in some places, like Florida, it seems almost deliberately confusing, like a trap to trick you into thinking that you are allowed to vote and then arresting you when it turns out no.
And using that to somehow prove that there is voter fraud happening.
In Florida, it's especially fucked up because the voters overwhelmingly voted to legalize voting for felons. And then the state legislature and the governor were like, nah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So yeah, obviously people are going to get mixed messages and be like, okay, well, we literally voted. We said it was okay. I think I can vote. And then you go and vote and they're like, what the hell do you think you're doing?
And then they're like, oh, why vote anyway? We're not going to do anything you want us to.
Yeah.
And you see what happened with the felon bill?
That's true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, doing voter fraud on purpose is something that rarely ever happens because the risk of criminal prosecution far outweighs the reward, which is just one extra vote in an election where thousands or even millions of votes are cast. Like, none of the people who believe this shit can explain, like, how does that work? Why would presumably tens, hundreds of thousands of people all do
coordinate
this?
Coordinate.
It's stupid. You would think this situation would maybe give this guy some perspective on how dumb his own election denier beliefs are, but yeah, we doubt it.
Especially in recent years where the eyes of everyone, it's the most meticulous, finely tuned vote counting process possible with an overabundance of monitoring and double checking. And it's very dumb to think that en masse people are doing this. It's just,
I mean, even the slap on the wrist this guy got, like, me adding one extra vote for Joe Biden or whatever, like, not worth it if I'm going to have to pay, like, $5,000 and get publicly reprimanded.
Unless you lived in South Florida in the year 2000 and you were hanging with Chad. Hanging Chads?
Oh, yeah, good one.
That actually was decided by a couple votes.
It was.
Yeah.
But that's also, they made the ballot very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And also they...
And also the governor was George Bush's brother.
Yeah, and also they let Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett just sort of waltz in and steal the election while it was being counted.
There you go.
That was a fun time.
But in other GOP idiocy, this week we got a great glimpse into the conservative mind thanks to Michigan State Representative Matt Maddock, who confirmed that his party has been so brain poisoned by the immigration debate that they now just assume any charter bus that they see must be carrying illegal migrants that Joe Biden is allowing to invade our great white nation. Not even just allowing, funding and coercing.
He's doing it to you personally.
On Wednesday, Maddock tweeted out some photos of buses at the airport with the caption, "Happening right now. 3 buses just loaded up with illegal invaders at Detroit Metro. Anyone have any idea where they're headed with their police escort?"
Now, this, of course, quickly got spread around right-wing Twitter, but it also quickly got the community notes treatment because those buses full of illegal invaders were actually buses transporting the Gonzaga men's basketball team.
Gonzaga!
Who were in town for March Madness.
Bazinga.
Hey, illegal immigrants, NCAA basketball team.
This also, something similar happened in Coeur d'Alene. it was like a women's basketball team.
Yeah.
And they were getting racial slurs yelled at them.
I mean, there is a racial angle to this that I haven't seen explored too much, but I mean, it's a college basketball team. I assume that it's probably pretty, it's not going to be just white people. Yeah. Let's say that. And yeah, so you see some darker skinned folks all loading into a bus. And your first thought is these are illegal migrants coming to invade my country.
Very reminiscent of the past two Christmases where everyone just walks up to people in the airport and says, just normal citizens being like, yeah, show me your papers. We got an illegal. Those videos drove me insane.
Yeah.
Anyways, apparently this wasn't embarrassing enough for Mr. Maddock, who rather than delete his post or at least admit that he was wrong, doubled down in several replies to his own tweet long after it had been debunked, saying shit like, everyone knows that Biden and Whitmer are flying and busing in illegals, and now they are asking Michiganders to shack them up in their homes for $6,000 a year, and we're paying for it. We know this is happening. Hundreds of thousands of illegals are pouring into our country. We know it's happening in Michigan. Our governor is offering money to take them in. Since we can't trust the hashtag fake news to investigate, citizens will. The process of investigating these issues takes time. Yeah, you have to go up to someone in the airport, make a complete fucking ass of yourself.
Show me your papers!
Make a complete ass of yourself.
Yeah. Citizens will be investigating.
I don't like that one bit either.
So, yeah, he also repeatedly replied to the many, many people who were like, hey, moron, it's the fucking Gonzaga men's basketball team.
Gonzaga!
He replied to them being like, okay, commie, with a K. And, yeah, when the Associated Press reached out to him for clarification on whether he actually still believes that those buses were full of migrants and not NCAA basketball players, he replied, I haven't heard a good answer yet. I took a tip and asked because this is happening in many places. And it is well documented.
A good answer? You mean the one that you want to hear? The one that alters the truth for you?
Yeah. Like, literally the airport, like, the multiple, like, official sources had to, like, pick up the phone and be like, yeah, no, those are the teams coming in for March Madness. Who, why, who's asking? Oh, God. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Also, here's a little bonus fact from the AP's article. Maddock, a Republican representing parts of Metro Detroit, was endorsed by Trump while running for re-election in 2022. Trump said in his statement endorsing Maddock that Michigan needs leadership who will investigate and document the 2020 voter fraud, the crime of the century. His wife, Michonne Maddock, the former co-chair of the Michigan Republican Party, is one of 15 Republicans facing 8 criminal charges on accusations of acting as fake electors for then-President Trump in 2020. All defendants have pleaded not guilty.
We're doomed.
So this guy, he's not just some random member of the party in Michigan. He's kind of well-connected.
If Trump got reelected, this guy would absolutely, because he has kissed the ring.
Yeah, he'd be.
He sucked on that ring.
Housing and urban development, because he's from Detroit.
Yeah.
The most urban of all cities.
Yeah, he will have a cabinet position for sure. Now get on your knees and tell me you love me. Tell me the votes were fraudulent.
That's right.
Anyways, while we're on the topic of American conservatives being both dumb and racist in displaying this to the world on Twitter, this week, the conservative parody news site, the Babylon Bee, they dusted off an old article from way back in 2017 and they posted it to Twitter, assuming that their audience of right-wing comedy enjoyers would appreciate it, especially since comedy is, of course, now legal on Twitter. The post featured the headline of the article. The white race must maintain our genetic purity, says Inbred Man, along with a photo of a very ugly man between a Nazi flag and a Confederate flag. Not a particularly original joke, but look, still funny.
And it rings true because, yes, often you will find that some of the biggest proponents for preserving the white race are not exactly its best specimens.
Yes, look at any of those very public marches and stuff from a couple of years ago where you're just like, the pinnacle of...
Not exactly the Chad meme that they post. No.
But surely Babylon Bee's audience of non-racists and non-snowflakes would have at least a slight chuckle at this, right?
Yeah, that's a great joke. It doesn't target me because I personally am not a Nazi, so I can find the humor in it.
I'm not a Nazi racist, bigoted person who is not the most horrific looking person.
I just happen to have conservative beliefs. Oh, yeah? Which ones? Oh, you know the ones.
I'm very angry that this person just called me out. That's not me. I'm just saying.
They got very, very, very mad.
Yes,
they did. And also very anti-Semitic, like to an alarming degree. Mm-hmm. They accuse the Babylon Bee of having been infiltrated by globalist Jews who apparently, I guess, used a time machine to go back in time 7 years and publish this article to undermine the white race. Mm. We would read you some of those comments, but we would probably get demonetized.
Absolutely. There's and horrific stuff.
Honestly, they all basically boil down to the same thing. There were, of course, a few that weren't just blatantly anti-Semitic, though. So let's read a few of those.
This isn't funny.
Disgusting organization.
Filth.
What is this? Has the bee gone woke? I'm out of here.
Why would you post this? Isn't this publication for comic relief?
Looks like the Babylon Bee hired a new writer. This headline and article suck. There's not even any pun to it. It's not punny at all.
And at Elon Musk, X terms clearly state this is against terms. If this post is acceptable, then does that mean that it is now permissible to slander people based on race, genetics, or disability? Also, people are suspended for posting a swastika flag. Why is it allowed in this case? Elon!
Teacher!
Elon, please!
Teacher! Yeah, they didn't take it well.
They did not like this, which says a lot about them.
Yeah, it's the joke was at the expense of Nazis.
That wouldn't be you, would it?
If you're taking it personally, that's concerning.
Are you a very ugly man with very racist beliefs?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Concerning.
So, it's concerning. So yeah, the backlash to a joke about Nazis being ugly was so intense that the Babylon Bee's CEO seemed a bit shocked that he had somehow amassed an audience of bigots. What?
My stars. Oh,
what?
Gosh.
How did this happen? CEO Seth Dillon posted, "It wasn't even about white people. It was a joke about white supremacists. And it was originally published back in 2017 without any backlash. Something changed, but it wasn't us. When you're personally offended by a joke about white supremacy, you might want to rethink some things, including whether Christ really is your king."
Cool. Well, at least he's having a bad time.
Yeah, I mean, there have been, like, the online, the Twitter right wing in particular has gotten so just unabashedly deranged under Elon's purview that they are lately having some weird, like, little civil wars among them, being like, "Guys, can we be a little bit more normal, please?
Yeah.
Stop posting about Sydney Sweeney's boobs. Why do you all hate Jews?"
Yeah.
"I didn't know I was among a group that just absolutely hates Jews. What's
and
that
then,
about?"
And then, like, the split with Candace Owens from Daily Wire, that ignited a whole lot of fury on the right online. Things are so deranged from the online posters on the right that, like, they're even further gone than someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is the direct representative of these types.
I mean, with her, I mean, she came from that world.
Yes.
I
was born in it.
Before she was MTG, she was spending all day on Facebook getting riled up.
Yeah.
And drinking the Kool-Aid.
She was QAnon Karen before she was Marjorie Titan Greene.
She was.
Uh-huh.
So that's fun.
No ad read today.
Nope.
You are the sponsor. If you got an email in the past couple of days.
Nothing to disregard.
Nothing happened. Nothing bad happened. It's just, as we said before, with Rooster Teeth going under, getting dropped by Warner Brothers, whatever the hell's going on over there, canceled by Warner Brothers.
Yeah, canceled by the woke mob.
That's right. We were part of their CMS so they could protect us from copyright and all that stuff. So they had to obviously shut that off.
Yeah, they just, and without warning, just beep.
Yeah.
I hope no one notices this.
Anyways, so it emailed every single person. So thank you for disregarding that email. But also a great opportunity to say, this is not sponsored. So please, if you would like to hit the join button, we would really appreciate it. But of course, the most important thing is always hitting the like button or leaving or replying to a comment and obviously making sure you're subscribed.
Engage.
But this isn't the end of the episode. This is just the ad read for you because we, of course, have headlines. And these are the craziest, the wildest, the weirdest headlines from around the world. Did you click the join button?
Come on.
There you go. Okay, now it's headlines time, starting with...
Banana fight in Pennsylvania gas station leads to charges for employee. And Zach, this article, the article that's attached to this one is so good that we're just going to read straight from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's classic weekly weird news material right here. Here we go. A fight that began with bananas being thrown inside a Pittsburgh gas station has led to one person hospitalized and a clerk facing charges. The incident occurred at a Sunoco located in the 100 block of North Craig Street in Pittsburgh on Monday, according to WPXI and WTAE. The fight began when a customer threw a banana at the gas station employees, who then threw it back. The customer and staff then began throwing multiple bananas back and forth, police said. The customer then punched one of the workers in the face, news reports said. Employee Yubaraj Budhatkoki, 26, of Pittsburgh, then chased the customer into the parking lot and hit him several times in the head with a PVC pipe. The customer is currently hospitalized in critical condition. Police have not said if he is facing any charges.
Pipes, bananas. This is a real-life Donkey Kong situation.
This is basically it's that Zoolander scene where having a good time at the gas station,
and then things
get tragic.
Yeah.
You're having a fun banana fight, and then someone brings out a fucking PVC pipe and starts hitting you in the head.
Too far.
Too far.
Yeah. So yeah, don't bring a banana to a PVC pipe fight. That's the lesson we all learned,
right?
That
is your lesson.
Mm-hmm. But on to the rest of the headlines. A Filipino villager is nailed to a cross for the 35th time on Good Friday to pray for world peace.
Yeah, every year. There was the time during COVID when the one village in the Philippines in a pretty remote part, due to COVID, they canceled their crucifixion ritual for like a year or two, which is, it's just funny when people in those kind of places care more about that shit than the president of the United States.
On the third year, it returned.
This is a thing. Every Good Friday, they do the Stations of the Cross, a very common thing. You reenact it, but they do things a little differently. They actually nail people to crosses, and it's a big honor in the community. And this guy has done it 35 times.
He's already got the holes.
It's probably like girls that wear earrings. Like, it's just,
yeah,
the whole,
you put an earplug in the.
Yeah, he's. So, I love this. I love that they're still at it. It's my favorite.
Look, they put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah. My favorite thing about Catholicism is that, like, it's the last places that it's really thriving are places like the Philippines and Latin America. And those places, the Catholicism is sort of mixed in with a lot of other sort of like local folk stuff. And so the Catholic Church is like, no, Santa Muerte isn't real. No, you don't have to crucify.
Okay, buddy.
They're like, listen, Pope, we got this.
We know who we're
Jesus. We love this Jesus guy, but we got to do it our own way here.
Yeah.
We have to nail the man to the cross. Yeah. Otherwise, it's not real.
Got to hand it to him.
And you get nailed to the cross, you get free beers for the rest of the year.
Sure.
There he is. But you have to do the first one where you pour the beer through the hole and then drink out the other side.
Cool. Trans men enter Miss Italy pageant in droves after trans women are told they can't compete.
Yeah, so the Miss Italy, they banned trans women, so male to female. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, it's all about biology. Mm. So a lot of trans men, female to male, in Italy are like, great. Okay. Let's all sign up. Rules are rules. And these are people who, like, by all appearances, are men.
Have transitioned
fully. But according to the rules, they're more qualified to sign up for this than trans women. It's just a very funny thing they're doing. And the Italians.
It's a good protest. It's a rock solid protest.
My stance on this is, listen, if you think that, you know, trans women aren't women, oh God, they're so gross, they're so ugly, then what are you scared of? Why are you afraid? Mm-hmm. Afraid you're going to get a boner? Is that it?
They are. You can, this has been everything that, specifically going back to conservatives, but like throughout time, everything that conservatives claim to hate is always very, very targeted in heavily conservative areas, like their Pornhub searches.
Yeah, no, it's psychosexual for sure.
Yes.
So
they're always looking up gay stuff, trans stuff, whatever. Everything that they claim to hate outwardly, it's because they hate themselves inwardly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Masturbating handyman gets off.
Well, that's good for him. But
I don't know. This is some weird UK news. So the handyman, he got off. That's what he was in trouble for in the first place. He was jacking off in a house.
I thought he like was freed from prison or something.
He got arrested because he went to go do some work in someone's house while they weren't home. They said, oh, go fix this. And he showed up and they caught him on the nanny cam, just rubbing it out in the bedroom.
Can't jerk off.
I guess it's just like this was like years ago and the UK courts, they're like, yeah, we can't actually find a specific law that this violates. You did invite him into your home and it's not illegal to masturbate in a home that isn't yours.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Maybe the law needs updating. But
it's definitely strange.
The judge is like, listen, they passed around the nanny cam footage to the whole town. It's a small town. Everyone's seen him.
This guy's been punished.
Yeah. he's the handsy handyman.
Now it's got to be his thing.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to hire him otherwise unless they specifically want
him. I mean, I'm sure there are people who this is their fetish. They've been hoping that they can find a handyman who will come jerk off in their house.
Sure. It is.
Okay, I'm going to leave now. I'll finish up the work. I'll be back in a little while.
Do it in front of the bear with the eyeballs.
Yeah. Oh, no. I hope nobody jerks off in my house while I'm not there. That would be terrible. But yeah, make sure you're facing the corner with the teddy bear. Anyway, bye.
He does great work.
He's the best. He fixed my plumbing and he blew a huge fucking load.
Yes.
And he flushed it down the toilet. And did you see that? Just goes straight out. No clogs.
The best craftsmanship ever.
Yeah. He does it all.
Retired grandmother still owes $108,000 in student debt 40 years after taking out loan. Yes. With compounding interest, there will be a lot of very old or dead people who have very large bills.
This lady literally says in the article, she's just like, yeah, I've explored all the options. And the most, like, the only one that even makes any sense is when I die, at least the loan will be forgiven then and not passed on to my children.
Yeah.
But she took the loan out in like the early 80s. And at the time it was like $40,000 total. And it's just fucking, it's designed to leave you perpetually in debt. Like it was like, once I started making like decent money, I had to just like force myself to like put as much into it as possible.
You'll never
make
ever,
it go away. Yeah. Cause the whole thing's fucked up. Also, like the interest starts collecting the second you take out the loan. So you're 18, you finish college, you don't have to start paying until you're done. But once you get out, like that much interest just like running wild for four straight years, like, holy shit, wait, I don't remember taking this out. And like, haha, stupid child. That contract you signed on your 18th birthday means that we can collect as much interest as we want while you're not paying.
You might have gotten an associate's degree down there at the community college, but we sent you to the School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, it's fucked up. It's an evil, predatory industry.
At least community college wouldn't be that high of a bill, but a regular college.
Community college wouldn't. I mean, this lady, she got a degree in like psychology, and she's been like working as like, I think, a therapist. I don't know. She's had like a decent job, and it's like an important degree she got.
Joe Biden should forgive her loans.
I mean, so he is doing something. It's not, not forgiving the loans, but like putting, I guess, some guardrails on it, but it's stupid. It should be offensive to every citizen
in this country how exploited medical stuff, yes, but also the student loan thing is so predatory.
Yeah.
Just at face value that any normal person, if you told them like the intricacies of it, would find that offensive.
Yeah. It's also just bad for the economy that people are so in debt and so afraid to have anything bad happen to them, even if they have money, they're not going to spend it. They're not going to like be consumers with that money. If they're smart, they're going to be like, I'm going to put this away in case I like fucking break my hip and I suddenly owe $50,000.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep this money out of the economy because...
Why is no one having children?
Yeah.
Why are no one... yeah. Insane.
North Texas man changes name to literally anybody else, is now running for president.
Lame.
This
peaked at D's nuts.
Yeah, this is like such a 2004 turd sandwich. Gosh. I mean, I get the sentiment. I probably agree with this guy on a lot of things, but I'm just like, the effort going into this joke is just not worth the joke. Mm-hmm. It's just not that funny. You're legally changing your name to literally anybody else. He has to collect like 60,000 signatures, so he's going all around town constantly trying to do
it. Funny joke, right?
Just so, you know, there could be a picture of him and be like, oh, see
he's
going
to be
that
so tired of it by the end, just like, this was a mistake.
I mean, if this was like a early 2000s era comedy film, he would get popular that he would end up winning.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd be... kid president.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a kid. He's like 35, but you know. That is a kid president in this country.
That is the youngest you could be.
Yeah. 7-Eleven plans to sell hot dog flavored sparkling water. Come on!
Where's Fred Durst at? Bring him out!
Yeah, no, it is fascinating that they...
We keep rolling.
So this is clearly... I think they are actually doing it, but it's clearly an April Fool's...
They should have the hot dog roller play the song. Rolling, rolling, rolling.
So this is an April Fool's thing, but I think it is real. It'll be a collector's item. It's like when Jones Soda does the nasty flavors.
Yeah.
But I'm fascinated that either it didn't occur to them at all, or maybe they reached out and Fred asked for too much money. But yeah, no... There's no acknowledgement that this is a Limp Bizkit song finally brought to life.
Yeah. It should have the branding and everything.
Yeah, they should have a deal where you get the hot dog flavored water and there's a donut, a chocolate donut.
Yeah, it looks like
in the
starfish.
Shape of a starfish.
Yeah.
I'll have the chocolate starfish and the hot dog flavored water, please.
Oh, you see the Liquid Death? It's not even an April Fool's thing because they're actually selling it.
But oh, the corpse paint?
Yeah. It's a great commercial.
Yeah, it is good marketing. That mm-hmm. Like, everyone gets so mad at Liquid Death, but it's all marketing. Yeah. And
and I like having a tall boy of sparkling water at a concert. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
it's nice to hold on to for a while.
It is very weird to me that format, no one else is doing it. The sparkling water is either in, like, tiny little, like, gay cans. and or in, like, glass bottles. Like, having it in a big, tall can. 16 ounces, 24 ounces.
Yeah.
Put a paper bag around it.
I want my sparkling 40.
That's the
40.
Format I like.
The sparkling 40. Go down and get the, they do have those. You get the big artisanal water.
Did you see, apparently sweeping TikTok this week is Gen Zers discovering Mad Dog 2020 and like sampling it.
What is that?
It's a fortified wine that is in like a flask shape. MD 2020. It's basically... the only people
I'd have to see it and I'd probably
you'd recognize it. Yeah. It's like it's what 12-year-olds get like the local bum to like buy them, and it's like, you know, it's just sugar water.
Yeah,
and it fucked you up, and so it's just all these.
I thought everyone was all about the buzz balls. They made a giant buzz ball.
Oh
yeah,
there's all these Gen Zers like sampling it, being like, oh, that's really good, and then just all these Gen Xers replying to it and be like, stop, I'm warning you. In 1985, I had three of these with my friends down at the park, and I woke up 3 days later in my own vomit.
You want to hear how rotten my insides probably were in my early 20s? I remember the go-to for a night out with me and my friends here in L.A., this is probably 23 or something like that, was a smaller thing of Southern Comfort and
SoCo.
A 40 of Mickey's.
Mickey's is... I never understood... Mickey's, because by the time you get to the bottom, that shit is so fucking gross.
It really was. Like, because it was like $2 or $3 for the 40.
Yeah, by the time you get to the bottom of that 40,
that's why we were drinking.
That shit is like higher than room temperature. It is like body temperature. It is flat and it's like half saliva. It is the worst.
Yeah, I burned in my brain is puking in the drive-through of a Jack in the Box at 2 a.m. after one of those nights. Woo. Don't drink, kids. Learn from me. Stop drinking. Sports betting company hiring a wiener connoisseur to find the biggest wiener in the MLB.
It's hot dogs, not penises. But,
oh.
I mean, I feel like we probably got it here. Historically, what? Dodger dog, it's big, it's long.
Yeah, skinny though.
It is skinny. That is how they get you.
Yeah, not girthy at all.
Not girthy.
No.
But that's just makes it more fun. Takes a while to eat it.
Well, they'll have competition with like Chicago, because they do like the just everything on it and bigger Franks.
I mean, I love a good Chicago dog, but at a certain point, it's like someone should tell these people what a sandwich is, because that's what this is a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
This bun, it doesn't support all that shit you're putting on it. Yeah. I love all that shit, but physics comes into play.
And I'm not about to get a fork and knife out and start eating this hot dog.
No fucking way.
Absolutely not.
You put like a whole damn pickle on there. I'm like, hey, that's great. This is hard to eat.
Oh, also MLB mentioned opening week. Let's fucking go. Baseball's back. I have something to do at night.
Yeah.
You watch baseball games and listen to the radio.
Baseball is back.
Baseball's back and it's better than ever. Key word is bet.
Better than ever.
Man arrested after allegedly taking eating leg of pedestrian after hit by train in Wasco.
Yeah, this is why when I'm driving through Bakersfield, I do not stop. Let's just keep on going.
Yikes.
Or is it Fresno? I don't know. That whole area. The Grapevine.
That whole area?
just the whole middle of the state. Yeah. I know that's where the food comes from.
Yeah.
But
that's America's breadbasket you're talking about.
For now. But yeah, someone got hit and killed by a fucking like Amtrak, and
hey, I've been there.
Some dude immediately was like, "Oh shit, a body that exploded? That leg's looking tasty." And just like in front of like,
well, no one else is using it.
In front of a bunch of other people, just walked up to it, grabbed it, and started munching on this leg while people were like, "Holy fuck!" Blah, just disgusted.
Well, do I have a book for that guy? The Necronomicon.
Oh yeah, yeah. Wait, don't eat that. There's good skin on that. I can bind some books.
Have you fancied yourself a Stetson man? Because I'd be willing to do a trade for that there leg.
Yeah, this is a... I mean, this is so fucked.
This is just
imagine like your loved one gets killed by a train. Like, that's horrifying.
Yeah.
And then you find out also, hey, just so you know, not important. It's taken care of.
We just have to tell you.
We fixed it. Nothing to worry about, but... There was briefly a moment where part of the body, the leg, was taken from the scene by a crazy person who did proceed to start eating it. But he only got a couple bites off. We got the leg back. It's all going in the same hole. My condolences. And again, he barely got, you know, it's tough skin. So my condolences.
Moving on.
Firefighter impersonator with garden hose arrested after refusing to leave fire scene. This dude, so this is not in New York. I can't remember exactly where it is, but this dude had a full NYFD, like, regulation uniform. He saw a fire going. Who knows? Maybe he started the fire. They don't say. But the real fire department showed up, and this guy was already on the scene in his full
New York. Finally, my time.
His full NYFD getup. With a garden hose, just doing fucking nothing. Just, and the fire department's like, hey, cool, we'll take it from here. And he's like,
yeah, we will.
Get out of my way.
Hey, the boys showed
like,
up finally.
No, but you like have to go. We have the real, yeah, it was.
I was just holding, now let me get the real hose and
yeah.
I'll, yeah.
Pass it over here, I'll
Look,
take
he's
lead.
He likes firefighters. Big deal.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah, you can't, well. I love firefighters. They did get really weird during COVID, but...
Yeah, but that's like... I'd say they got about as weird as like...
Any other normal...
They got certainly less weird than cops. But yes, a lot of firefighters became very stupid health-wise during the pandemic.
Well, I think, you know, maybe there's a scholarship to the Fire Academy for this guy.
Yeah, that's what's weird is like with the police... Like, there are reasons why if you are unstable, they will not let you. I mean, I guess the fire department probably do. But I feel like if you want to put out fires, like, the barrier for entry is probably a lot lower than if you want to carry around a gun.
In California, you can just commit multiple felonies and then they'll make you a firefighter.
That's true. If you want to fight, maybe that's what he was. Well, this wasn't California, but
yeah. If
you want to become a firefighter in California, impersonate a firefighter, get arrested. Go to jail, and the next time there's a wildfire,
baby, you got a job.
Guess who's on the front lines? Mm-hmm. You. Guess how much money you're making?
Zero.
And
are you going to be able to use all the skills that you've been taught becoming a firefighter afterwards? Not currently, but they're looking into making that
possibility. I saw on Reddit, actually, the LA or California Reddit, the LA Fire Department actually has a very, like, frequent
active
poster, presence on there. And like, yeah, I saw some posts where some dude like in that exact situation, he's like, yeah, I have like a felony conviction from like years ago. I did the fire training and like just trying to find it. And it sounded like he could do it. It's just like, you have to like be very meticulous about every step that you take.
There's
so that's
some,
good.
There's been some movement on that in this state because they fucking earned it.
Yeah. Also, like, those are valuable skills, and yes. You want those people to stay out of trouble and contribute to society.
Yeah, and have fulfilling, fulfilling life.
It's you're killing
it
a lot of birds with the same
stone. Sounds fucking
perfect to me,
yeah.
And also, it's not like fires are going to be going away anytime soon.
Only getting worse, folks.
Anyway, final headline. Florida Governor DeSantis signs bill that will increase wine bottle size limit. For too long, the wine bottles have been
very
too
small.
He had a whole fucking like press conference at some vineyard. I guess they grow wine in Florida. I had no fucking clue. I'm sure
it's swamp wine.
Yeah, swamp wine down there. And so like most wine in this country is 1.75 liters, a typical wine bottle. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason because like, once you open it, you kind of have to drink it within like a couple of days. And, you know, they do here in California, they do sell what are called magnums that are like these comically large bottles.
Yeah, I had one for a while.
But people don't want them because they're inconvenient. And also, you open a bottle that big, you better be pouring glasses for like 50 fucking people.
Someone gifted me that years ago, and then I eventually gifted it to someone else. And I can only imagine that it's been making the rounds.
It's stupid. They only exist so that when you visit the vineyard, you can like pose holding it.
Yeah.
And so DeSantis, he's like, finally, like, just putting on this whole show of just like, the people of Florida demanded it, and finally they can buy the comically large wine bottle.
Tackling the important issue.
Freedom!
And we put a little rubber nipple on the end so you can suck the wine out.
Yeah. So congratulations, Florida. You can go down to your local swamp vineyard and pick up a comically large bottle of what I presume is just terrible, terrible wine.
Awful. Just awful. Anyways, that's it for this week's episode of Weekly Weird News. We'll be back in a couple of days for some more episodes. But in the meantime, a bridge collapsed on the East Coast and everyone got weirdly racist about it.
Yeah, much like with the Babylon Bee thing, people just, it doesn't take that much. Just literally any stimuli sets off the racism.
Yep. So we have cool. A whole episode breaking all that down. We also have Elon Musk losing a lawsuit that he tried to silence someone's free speech. Yeah. Lost the lawsuit.
Also, multiple Elon lawsuits coming next week as well.
Fantastic. We'll see you for that.
Yeah, a lot of lawsuits.
If you feel like it, click the join button. Otherwise, make sure you leave a like, leave a comment, reply to a comment, and we will see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.